With Pride Month fading into our rearview mirrors, we wanted to examine some recent actions taken by Governor Kathy Hochul designed to serve transgender New Yorkers. And to do that, we're checking in on the Capitol Press Room with Assemblymember Jessica Gonzalez-Rojas, a Queens Democrat. Welcome back to the show, Assemblymember.
David, thanks for having me.
So I want to start our conversation with a bill of yours that the governor signed, which might be a bit inside baseball, but it has to do with elected political party positions that were traditionally broken up into male and female spots. What's happening as a result of your legislation?
Well, I'm so thrilled that we passed and got signed into law the Gender Inclusive Ballot Act. And this bill would allow those who are gender nonconforming or gender non-binary to utilize the X marker for their gender in order to run for party positions. And this is really important because I myself got my start in as a Democratic state committee member in order to, you know, advocate for gender balance. They had a male and female position. But if you didn't identify within either of those two binaries, then you were really left out and there was no place for you. So either you had to, you know, kind of force yourself to pick, or for many people, they just decided not to run, which is really unfortunate because then it excludes them from civic engagement opportunities and ways to get politically engaged.
Do you see the potential ramification of this, that the Democratic Party most likely, because I can't imagine the Republican Party really taking advantage of this, it could be reshaped with new voices?
Absolutely. I work very closely with trans and gender nonconforming local leaders to shape this bill and this language. I want to give a shout out to Amelia DeCowden from Queens, who's a trans district leader, who, you know, really helped frame this bill, advocated for its passage as part of the state committee and part of the, you know, being part of the political party. And they had agreed to pass it, but they didn't take any action and didn't do anything. So that's why this legislation was really important to codify it. And create a system by which people who do not identify within the binary genders to have an opportunity to run. And this will bring new voices to the table, new perspective to the table. And oftentimes these party positions become stepping stones for higher office. So it really creates a space and opportunity for people who have been marginalized from the political system to be able to step up and be engaged.
So while this could have the impact of reshaping, say, the Democratic Party and who, you know, serves in its leadership structure, do you think it has more of a symbolic impact, or do you think it is a substantive impact first and foremost?
I actually think it's substantive. I mean, it's symbolic in a way that says we welcome you no matter your gender identity, however you identify, there's a place for you. So that's very important and symbolic. But I'm really hoping for substantive change. We need new voices, new leadership, new perspectives, right? People who identify as gender nonconforming or gender non-binary have real lived experiences that they could bring to the table and really help shape party positions that impact the lives of their communities. So I really hope for some substantive change, but certainly we want to create an environment where we know and that our gender non-binary and gender non-conforming folks are included and welcomed to be engaged in political party positions.
The governor also signed legislation creating the Transgender Wellness and Equity Fund. How is this fund designed to be utilized, and what kind of investment is the state making, at least initially, into this fund?
It was really exciting that both these bills were signed on the same day, as the same day as the Pride Parade on June 26, because it is symbolic that, you know, we're passing legislation that creates a space and opportunity for people to run and be engaged. And we're creating a transgender wellness and equity fund that make investments in those communities. And I also have to recognize and honor the sponsors, Assemblywoman Catalina Cruz and Senator Brad Hoylman. It was named after an activist named Lorena Borjas from my community, from Catalina's community. That has really been on the forefront of fighting for the lives of trans communities. So this is showing that we are making, putting our money where our mouth is and making these investments and supporting the organizations that are trans-led and trans-serving. They have only ever received about 4%, 4 cents, for every $100 invested in the LGBTQ community by like foundations and other resources. So this is making a substantial investment in the communities and recognizing that their lives matter and their voice matters as well.
If I remember correctly, when this issue was really coming to prominence in the spring leading up to the budget passage, the campaign was hoping for a $15 million investment. What sort of funding has been committed either by the governor or through this legislation?
Well, the great thing is that we were able to secure $1 million from the state, and the governor has made an additional commitment, $2 million. So it is a down payment because we were demanding $15 million, knowing how great the need is. And this money can go towards, you know, helping our trans community get housing, employment, healthcare, and other resources that these nonprofits provide. So it's certainly just a down payment, but it codifies the fund so that every single budget year we'll be fighting for more and more resources for our trans and gender nonconforming communities.
After the bill was signed, the governor released an approval memo that indicated the law will actually, you know, not take effect until next year, with the governor arguing that because there's a fiscal impact on this, we need to wait until the new fiscal year so that money can be put aside for this type of investment. Does that make sense to you, given how, you know, in the wake of the Roe decision first being leaked, the governor was able to move around tens of millions of dollars as she saw fit, even though it wasn't in the budget process? So I'm curious whether you're concerned at all about, I guess, her actual commitment to this, given the fact that she wants to delay an investment.
Yeah, the ways in which she made important and historic investments in protecting and upholding abortion access in New York, I think we should do the same for our trans and gender nonconforming communities. I don't think we have a year to wait. It's a drop in the bucket compared to our gigantic budget that we were able to pass. So I would really urge the governor to make these investments now so we can start getting the money into the hands of the community members that need it.
And when this is a part of budget negotiations or budget discussions next year, do you anticipate there'll be a renewed push for a recurring $15 million investment?
I believe so. Yes. I think we have to push for all the money that is needed. The $15 million request comes directly from leaders, transgender leaders and gender nonconforming leaders that work directly with communities that have historically been underserved. So that $15 million is an actual number. It's a real number. It's what we need. So we'll continue to push and you know, try to get as much as we can to reach that goal. So I look forward to partnering with Assemblywoman Cruz and other advocates and supporters of this legislation to ensure that we're continuing to make these important investments at the highest rates possible.
Any other unfinished business from 2022 that you're thinking about, you know, rekindling in 2023 when it might come to services, programs, or other accommodations to benefit LGBTQ New Yorkers?
Well, the one thing I always say is reproductive justice is an LGBTQIA issue. So the fight for abortion access and reproductive health care is a fight for our trans and gender nonconforming communities. We have to remember that transgender men can get pregnant as well and may not want to carry that pregnancy to term. So in addition to the resources that she's invested from her own fund, that was really a one-shot deal. So I have the reproductive freedom and equity fund that would make would create an ongoing fund and make investments in reproductive health services that, again, serve all New Yorkers despite gender identity.
Well, we've been speaking with Assemblymember Jessica Gonzalez Rojas. She's a Queens Democrat. Assemblymember, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, David.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.